Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Creating Change. This is Doug Foresta, and today I want to talk about full creative self-expression. And I want to talk about what gets in the way of fully expressing ourselves creatively, and also what we can do to, as best we can, to fully express ourselves. Now, many of you may be familiar with a quote by Wayne Dyer. He said, "Don't die with the music still inside you." And to me, what that means is, you know, don't die before you fully express who you are. And I really do believe that we each have a mission and a purpose. And I've talked about in previous episodes about living with mission and purpose. But I really do believe that we have this innermost thing that we need to express. And that if we don't express it, that we are not, to some degree, we haven't fully completed our mission and our purpose on this planet for the time that we're here. So what I'm going to talk about, like I said, are some of the blocks, some of the things that most common things that I see get in the way of full creative self-expression, and then also some tips and some ways that you can fully express yourself creatively. And I want to acknowledge, you know, as I'm saying this, that the reality is that we could live many lifetimes and still never get all of what we would need to get out and still never fully express ourselves. But I think that's all the more reason why it's so important for us to, as much as possible, share our message, share our stories with the world. So let's talk about the most common blocks to full creative self-expression. The first one I would say is negative stories and negative reinforcement from childhood. And if you think about what society tells us, you know, when you're growing up, I certainly know for myself that the messages that I got oftentimes from the people around us, from the adults in my life, and well-intentioned, it was not that they were trying to be evil or something like that, but it was what they had learned, was that the safe way to be is to do what other people are doing, right? Follow the rules for success. Follow what other successful people are doing. Follow the pack, and that's the safe way to be. The interesting thing is there's a book by Randy Gage called Risky is the New Safe. And one of the things that's happened, ironically, is that safe has really disappeared. The idea of the safe career, the safe path, there really isn't any safe career or path anymore, because for the simple reason that there are, you know, those social contracts of, you know, staying in a job for 30 years and then getting the gold pocket watch just doesn't exist anymore. But the stories still exist. The stories that if somehow I share what I believe and what I think, somehow it's not a safe thing to do. And we'll talk about, you know, more about that later, about whether that's true. But certainly, of course, I don't think that's true. I think that, in fact, the safer path now really is, risky really is the new safe. And if nothing else, the journey of fully expressing ourselves is so important. So perhaps, you know, I guess one of the questions I would ask you is, did you ever try to draw something or say something and someone shot you down? I have some writer friends who have had that experience. You know, I certainly have had that experience. I remember bringing home as a child, maybe a teenager, bringing home some work that I had done. And I remember my parents were so excited. And then they said, What is this for? And I said, oh, you know, I did it for myself. I guess they thought it was for someone else or for some project. And I was like, no, I just wrote it because I wanted to write it. And all of a sudden it was like something on their face. They're like, oh, it's just for him. And even though they didn't mean anything by it, and who knows what they meant by it, it wasn't anything big. But in that moment, what I took, the message I got unconsciously, was that my own work doesn't matter. You know, if something is just for me, it doesn't matter. And of course, that then has, you know, inhibited my creative self-expression for many years. But so that's number one. You know, number one is this idea of negative messages that we have about expressing our voice and who we are. I think it's really important to realize that we all have a unique voice. And many times when I help people with podcasts and I help, you know, I coach people to create their own podcasts and share their voice, and people will say to me, you know, I don't have anything to say. And I know that's not true. I know we all have something to say. We all have important, we all have a voice. And even if we're sharing content that's out there and available in other ways, there's people who need to hear it from you. They need to hear you saying it. They don't need to hear, you know, Wayne Dyer now has passed away, but they don't need to hear, they don't need to hear some other self guru. They don't need to hear Wayne Dyer. They don't need to hear me say it. They need to hear you say it. By the way, I was not putting myself in the same category as Wayne Dyer. So that's one of the things. That's one of the reasons. Another reason I think is lack of skill. And it's interesting because we talk about sort of the internal blocks to full creative expression, but there's also and this is an internal block, but it's also an external block, which is that many people, what I find is that many coaches, authors, speakers, therapists, a lot of times there's a skill gap. And so they get frustrated. And what I mean by a skill gap is maybe they don't know how to share a story in a way that's compelling. So you want to sing your song, but you don't know how to have the notes, you know, or even a podcast. You want to share a podcast. You want to create a podcast, but you don't know how to do it, right? You don't know how to edit audio. You don't know how to make it sound good. You don't know how to, you know, get it up on iTunes. So even though maybe, you know, maybe you say, I really want to express myself, but you lack the, maybe lacking the skill to be able to do it. And, you know, that's something that recently, this summer, I did a story mastermind with 10 people and 10 coaches, authors, and speakers, and we just worked through stories. And one of the things that came out was, you know, everyone had amazing stories, but we worked on them and made them stronger and stronger. And it's that skill, you know, practicing that skill is really important. Fortunately, the good thing about a skill gap is that A, you can get someone to help you, right? You can, I mean, that's why there's editors for books. That's why, you know, I have editors that I work with. I have, you know, a lot of the team of people that help me to express my voice. And so you can get help with those things. You know, if you realize, you know, once you realize, well, wait a minute, you know, I do want to express myself, but I have this skill gap, you can find the people that will help you to really to get your message out in the world in a bigger way. The other one, I mean, the big one is definitely, and this relates to that thing about the negative stories, but it's simply fear, you know, and it can be fear of so many things. It can be fear of success. It can be fear of failure. It can be fear of being heard. There's just fear goes on and on. But I think at the end of the day, again, when you think about, I think about it from an evolutionary perspective, that the best thing to do, the safest thing to do when you're living in a cave and there's bears and tigers and, you know, all kinds of predators around, right? The safest thing to do is to not draw attention to yourself. The safest thing to do is to be quiet. And I certainly know that that's something that, you know, in my life that I've struggled with is the idea that it's not safe to speak up. It's not safe to share my message with the world. It's not safe to say what I truly think and feel. And that's been something that, you know, that's, I think, a big part of the reason why I created my global community, Stand Out and Be Heard, because, you know, that's been one of the things, you know, we say we teach what we most need to learn. That's been one of the things that's been really difficult for me, is to really say what I think and feel and fully express that. So I wonder if that's something that you can relate to, but there are so many different reasons why we might have that kind of fear. It doesn't matter in the end, truly. It doesn't matter why we have the fear, and it doesn't matter particularly what the fear is about, although it's good to understand it. And I'll talk about that when we talk about, you know, how to overcome these fears. So all those things are important, but at the same time, the fear is fear is fear. And the way around it, I think, is self-talk and support. And at some point, you just got to step into the fear. And the more you do that, you build experiences of being able to overcome the fear. When I started speaking, I think I'd shared this on a previous podcast, but I'll share it here briefly. I decided that I wanted to do public speaking, and I wanted to speak to audiences all over the United States, and I eventually spoke in Germany as well. And at the same time, I was experiencing panic attacks, and the panic attacks were really about what happens if I look foolish, what happens, you know, I started to worry about the panic attacks and worry that I would have panic attacks while I was speaking, and, you know, I was really worried about all these things. And one of the things that got me over it was that I had this burning desire to get my message out into the world. So I was willing to walk through the fear, and I kind of made it in my mind. I sort of played a little game with myself, and I thought, well, what would happen if, at the time too, I was doing presentations on anxiety was part of what I was talking about. And I thought, you know, what if I'm doing a presentation about anxiety and all of a sudden I start having a panic attack? I'm going to look like such a fool. So what I thought to myself was, well, if I started having a panic attack, what I could do is I could say, you know, by the way, everyone, this is what a panic attack looks like, you know, and throw myself down the aisle. And that seems so silly to me and so funny that for some reason it really diffused the panic attacks. But I still had a lot of anxiety. But what happened is the more I would speak, the more that I would face my fear. And at the end of the presentation, even if I was nervous during the presentation, even if I felt a little woozy or shaky or whatever from anxiety, at the end of the day, I'd feel so good about walking through the fear. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's kind of like swimming, you know, putting yourself out there, getting your message out there. There's really no way to swim without getting wet. At the end of the day, right, you can practice, you could practice on your carpet, and you could practice all the moves, and you could, you know, have somebody show you every move, and this is what it's going to feel like in the water, and you could read all the books in the world about swimming and watch videos about swimming. But at the end of the day, at some point, you're going to have to get wet, right? You're going to have to jump in, and you're going to have to get wet. And that's really, I think it's in the same vein, expressing ourselves, full creative self-expression. You're going to have to walk through some fears, because I do believe that as human beings, there is some part of us that resists the idea that it would be safe to share what we truly believe. The other thing I think is, even if you have the most supportive parents in the world and you have the most supportive teachers and the most supportive anything, I do believe that there's also this inner voice, and Joseph Campbell kind of called it the dragon, you know, our dragons. And our dragons are the part of ourselves. I think it's really connected to fear. It's that part of ourselves that wants to keep us safe. But we all, I believe, have this dragon inside us, that this battle, you know, if you heard the saying, it's been attributed to so many people, I don't really know who said it, but keep creating, you know, keep, it's is a be not keep creating. It's a, key, it's I think it's Philo of Alexandria says it, that what he said was, be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. And there's a book by Stephen Pressfield called the War of Art. And it's about that sense of that war. But I don't think we have to have a war with ourselves. I don't really love that approach of fighting a war with ourselves, because fighting a war with yourself is a war that you can't, at the end of the day, you can't win, right? So I'll talk about what I suggest instead. But it can feel that way. It can feel like there's a battle raging inside us. I also want to address the issue of, so what, right? Like, what's the big deal? What's the big deal about full creative self-expression? Now, I know if you're listening to this show, Creating Change, you're someone who gets it. You're someone who understands the importance of self-expression. But let me spell it out in terms of what I think the cost is. I worked for 10 years. I worked for the state of Massachusetts. And I worked in a job where you were told what to do, where you were given mandates and edicts, and, you know, we did good work. I believe that we did good work and helped people. It was a social work job. But at the same time, it was never about you. It was always about, you know, it was always about the, about work. And it was always about the, you know, what you were told to do. And I think many, many people stay in jobs, right, where they're doing what they're told to do. And many people, you know, you could find yourself in a relationship where you don't have a voice in your relationship, or you find yourself in a community where you don't have a voice. And what happens is that you end up not truly living the life that is yours to live, or not expressing what you uniquely have to give to the world. And what I believe and what I would argue is that's the only thing that matters. You know, that the thing that we have to give to the world is what's uniquely us, what's most uniquely us. How do you see the world, right? That's what the world needs, because anything else, you know, being, you know, say be yourself, everyone else is already taken. Being an original, right? Being authentic, which is a word that's way overused, but authentic has to do with the word author. You know, being the author of your own life is so important because that's what the world needs you to do. That's why you're here. You're here to express yourself. You're not here to collect a paycheck for 25 years and then, you know, retire and get on a boat. We're here to love. We're here to evolve our souls. And the evolution of our soul comes along. With the evolution of our soul comes the expression of our voice. No expression of our voice, no evolution of our soul. I really believe that. So I want you to think about that. So those are some of the blocks that I find. I want to talk about how can you express your authentic voice? How can you fully express your creativity and your creative self? So let me first say that one of the things that's challenging, I know that for me, I have many, many projects. You know, I have a lot of projects. I have a lot of people who, you know, say to me, Doug, can you do this with me? Can you do that with me? And it's very difficult for me to figure out and discern, what do I really need to do? What is mine? You know, I don't want to get involved in projects that aren't really the right projects for me. And so what I think about is this idea that there's the book by Rilke, Letters to a Young Poet. Rainer Marie Rilke has a book called Letters to a Young Poet. And in it, he says, don't judge work by how good or bad it is. He said, think about a work of art is good if it comes from necessity. And he said, I'm paraphrasing here, but you know, that's the judgment of a work of art. Does it come from necessity? Now, what does that mean? What is necessity? What necessity is means that you feel an urge that you say, I can't not do this. I have to do this. I have to express this. So first and foremost, looking for that creative self-expression that comes from necessity. Let me say a little bit too about creative self-expression and what that means. Creative self-expression could be you speaking, right? It could be writing a book. It could be doing a podcast. It could be making videos. It could be a million forms. One of the wonderful things now is that we have so many different ways that we can share our message with the world. My niece, Madeline, is so gifted. She's 10 years old and she has so many different, she has her own YouTube channel and she does all these things. You know, I thought to myself, boy, you know, it's amazing. We didn't have any of this when I was a kid. I sound like a crotchety old man, but I think it's great. I think it's great that we have all these ways to express ourselves. So there's no excuse. But I think doing some journaling, you know, this would be the action number one. Do some journaling and ask yourself, what would I most regret not sharing? What is in me that I feel a burning desire, a burning need to share? That's the work that comes from necessity. That's what you have to share. You know, the idea that, you know, every spider has a slightly different web, and the spider has that web because that's the expression of that spider. It's not because the spider says, well, this is really going to be good for the gallery. The other spiders are really going to like it. It's going to make me popular. I think it's going to be the right web at the right time. No, the spider does it because that's the essence of the spider to create that web. That's the web that was in that spider to create. And when it creates that web is the expression of who that spider is. Likewise, you know, that necessity is thinking about, journaling about, what do I need to express? The other piece I think about full creative expression is recognizing your point of view. What is your point of view about the world? My point of view about the world is the keep creating, the world needs your gifts. That's what I want on my tombstone, hopefully in, you know, 80 years. That what I want on my tombstone is the idea that it's not just about you. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to get past our fears because that's what the world needs, because we are here to evolve our souls and to serve others, not just to serve ourselves. So that's my point of view on the world. And you know, that's really where I come from. What is your point of view on the world? You know, if you're a therapist or you're a coach or you're a speaker, right? And let's say you speak about, I don't know, let's say you speak about something about, trying to think of something, you know, energy healing, and you speak about Reiki. What's your point of view about Reiki. Not just that you do Reiki, but what do you have to say about Reiki that is unique and different and interesting, right? And it will be interesting if it's what is unique about you. So what's your take? What's your spin on Reiki? Is it that, you know, Reiki is a great way to, Reiki is a great way to find and connect to your spiritual center, something like that. But what's your point of view? How do you see the world? And I think one of the things that's really hard is we're, again, so trained to not share how we see the world, but find your point of view and think about, how do I see the world that is unique to me, and to share that. The next thing to think about is to do like a T-chart. I think this is another great way to overcome fear. And, you know, basically a T-chart is just take a piece of paper, put a line down the middle, and then one line across at the top. And then on the left-hand side, write pros. On the right-hand side, write cons. And write down the pros and cons of expressing your voice versus not expressing your voice. And the con side, you know, maybe I'm too afraid. What if somebody rejects me? What if they laugh at me? What if it doesn't work? What if I feel worse about myself? But then look at the pros. The pros will be, you know, I'll feel better about myself. I'll know that I gave it my all. I could help someone. I could make a difference in the world. I could be spiritually, you know, fulfill my spiritual purpose. So write down the pros and cons of fully expressing your voice versus not fully expressing your voice. And that's a great way to, that's a great way to figure out the, really, really sort out the, you know, your fears, but also your fears, and then what the other element of it, which is, you know, what could go right, you know, what could go right from it. The other thing I think that we need to do is that every day to ask ourselves a simple question, which is, how can I impact the world today? How can I make a difference? And how can I fully express myself today? I think when we have the idea of full self-expression, one of the things that can be hard about that is the idea that full self-expression sounds like, oh my God, you know, I've got to express everything that's inside me. But you don't have to do all that at once. You know, you don't have to fully express yourself all in this moment. It's really in the little things. You know, it's speaking up when, you know, if you're at an event and you have something to say that no one else has said, but then you think to yourself, oh man, I don't want to say that because, you know, what if other people laugh at me, or maybe I'm wrong because nobody said it, right? But you do speak up and you step through your fears, and you share your voice in that way, that you are adding something to the world. You are fully expressing yourself. So it's not a, you know, we're always going to have setbacks. We're always going to have moments where we're tongue-tied and we don't say what we need to say. But at the end of the, I think at the end of the day, if we're able to look back and say, more often than not, I said what I needed to say. More often than not, I shared what was in me to share. I believe that at the end of our lives, when we look back, you know, we'll say to ourselves, job well done. And I have to say, you know, when I think about Wayne Dyer, and I know Wayne passed away last year, and I think about the work that, you know, when I found out that he had passed away, of course I was sad, but it was hard to be too sad, because here was a man that had impacted so many people. Here was a man that had written so many books. And I remember, you know, I had all his CDs and I would listen to his CDs while I drove, and he made such a profound difference in my life that, you know, we're all going to die someday, right? We're all going to die. And, you know, what that number is, we don't get to determine necessarily. And so, you know, for some, it'll be older than others. But at the end of the day, we're all going to die. But the question is, are not all of us are fully going to live? And Wayne Dyer, I think at the end of his life, I know it was a sudden death, but I know that he felt that he did not die with the music still inside him. He expressed what he needed to express, and he did what he needed to do to have that impact in the world. And I want to say to you in closing that you don't have to be Wayne Dyer, and I don't have to be Wayne Dyer. We can touch one other life, or two other lives, or 10 other lives, or 1,000, right? We don't know what our dharma is, of how big that impact will be. But it's not about how many people you touch. It's about that full creative self-expression. And even if it doesn't happen in your lifetime, you know, how many artists became famous after they died, right? You may not know the full impact and the full ripple effect of your expression of the expression of yourself. And as Marion Williamson says, as we become liberated, our presence liberates others. So it's not just about, I'm going to write a book and I'm going to sell 10,000 copies. It's about, I'm going to fully express myself because that is what I'm here to do on this planet. That is the evolution of my soul. And as I do that, and as I become an example for other people, I become an example, and I don't mean just me, I mean you, that you become an example of what's possible in the world, and others start to do that. And as we all do that collectively, that light and that love and the resonance from all of us expressing our full creative selves, I believe helps to create change and create a better world. So I hope that you take this to heart, do some journaling, think about how can you fully express yourself today in the world. And if you need help to do that, get some support to do that. As always, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. This is Doug Foresta at Creating Change.